Welcome to Fostering Parenthood. This is a space to hear from other foster parents firsthand about how to support your foster youth with their healthy sexual development. I'm Dorothy Daniels, and I've been a mom and a foster mom for over 42 years. I'll be your host as we explore and even role play some of the best ways to talk to your youth about sex. Yep, I said sex. We will also talk about identity, boundaries, consent, and more, so that together we can have these tough conversations with our foster youth. All right, today, wow, this is the wrap-up for our first season of this podcast. I couldn't be more excited and humbled by our special guest today. We're going to be talking about something that is not an easy subject. In fact, it can be really challenging and difficult and embarrassing and all of the above when you go to have that talk with your child. My son, Brandon, has graciously offered to come on our podcast. And I want everyone to know that we have not rehearsed for this. We have never had this conversation before. Brandon will be 17 in November, and I know that he knows stuff. I don't really know what stuff he knows and how much information we're going to cover today. But we're going to jump off this diving board into the deep end of the pool together with you. So welcome to Fostering Parenthood and the talk. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Welcome.
Are you a little nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know that anything you're uncomfortable talking about, we won't, right? I want to respect you and value you and your thoughts and your privacy, but I also want to provide enough information for caregivers, because we all, as parents and foster parents, need to jump off, right? We need to have this talk. And maybe a little background would be helpful for the folks listening. Brandon, you have been in our home and a part of our family for 4 years, almost five, right in November?
November 8th.
November.
Yeah.
Thank you for remembering. Could you share with me when you first came, where you were, what your thoughts were?
In terms of like where I was, like socially, emotionally, all that, I was not prepared. I'm still not prepared, but was not prepared for what is the real world. So yeah. I wasn't ready for to have like a normal life. I don't know.
So in terms of being in a family, was that confusing to you?
Yes, in a sense, because it was different than the family I had before. I had my family, but they weren't like this.
What do you mean?
They just didn't care. Like, they were just kind of like, you do whatever you want to do and just leave us out of it, that kind of thing. And yeah, it was just, yeah, very different.
Do you think that part of your journey, right, your history, had something to do with your ability to make attachments, you know, healthy attachments to people?
Over time, I was able to create attachments, but at first I was not able to. At first I was like scared to make attachments to people, because I thought every person I had an attachment with had left. And it was just, it really helped me get through a lot of the stuff that I was dealing with.
How did that happen? Like, how did, I know it took a long time. I'll never forget almost to the day, to the minute that you called me mom for the first time. For 3 years, I didn't have a name. I wasn't Aunt Dorothy. I wasn't Dorothy. I wasn't Miss Daniels. I wasn't, I was, hey, you, or you would wait until I looked at you so that then you could ask me a question because you didn't know how to call me over.
Yeah.
And I remember in the kitchen, still to this moment, that you said, mom, and I turned around and I went to myself, did he just call me mom? And it was probably one of the happiest days of my life. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I don't know what made that happen.
Just persistence, your persistence specifically. And like, just, yeah, it's just persistence. Just your constant, like, oh, I'm here forever, that kind of, just that. It was just, it just kind of one day it just kind of clicked. I don't know how else to explain it. It just clicked and was just like, oh, okay, so they're here for a while, or they've been here for at least 3 years, so there's possibility that they're here forever. And it kind of clicked. Yeah.
Are you home?
Yeah.
Does it feel good?
Yes.
Welcome home, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
So even though you're my son forever.
Yeah.
We now have guardianship of you, right?
Yeah.
So you're no longer in the foster care system. You are our child. We still have challenges, right? And one of those challenges is kind of since you've like grown hair. You know, I mean, I hate to say that, but and your voice deepened because of those challenges, right? Puberty.
Yeah.
What do you think are those needs that you had once you hit puberty? Like, I know there was a time when you had curiosity, right?
Yeah. Honestly, exactly what you did, like, just being there if I needed anything. Like, I don't really know what I needed. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. It, yeah.
Well, I know that there was a time when you were curious, right? And you didn't know anything about sexuality, right? You didn't even know your own sexuality. And I didn't know as a caregiver, parent, your mom, how to support you in that. And I had my own fears and my own, you know, you're going to get bullied and you're going to, you know, it's going to be tough. And what can I do to help support you find out who you are?
Just be there. Yeah, just be there. Like, do exactly what you're doing now. Just be there.
What does that look like?
Probably just, if I need anything, just be able to, like, I'd be able to, like, me come up to you and be like, hey, I need this, or I need help with this, or that kind of thing. And you just be like, oh, let me do whatever I'm doing, and then get up and help me with whatever it is. Like, just whenever I need it, just being able to come up to you and ask, oh, I need this, can you help me with it? That, just that kind of thing.
So being present, right? Being,
yeah,
being willing to jump into your world when you need it.
Yeah.
So I know you were dealing with, you know, am I bi? Am I gay? You know, what am I? Right. That's a struggle. I think you're still there. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure it out, but I'm getting there.
What can I do to help you?
Right now, I think I just need to figure it out on my own. But once I do, then you can help. once I figure it out, then you can help me to explore that, like explore who I am in, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, help me explore that side of me, like that mm-hmm. side of like my sexuality, all that. Help me, like, I don't know how to explain it. Just like, just be there to help me, like whenever I like have questions about something specific. I don't know.
I know that we've talked about this before, and you know I love you.
Yeah,
I love you no matter what label, right? Yeah. You use or society uses. I love you.
Yeah,
and it's not going to change.
I know.
Does that help?
Yes. Yes, it does.
I'm here for you. When it comes to the sex talk, so many of the kids like you, right, that are out there think they know it all, right? Yeah. They think, oh, yeah. Well, I watched a porn, right? I know how it works. I watch, I talked to my friends and they said this. And I know one of the things that you had said at one point is that a lot of the kiddos that you talk to all have girlfriends. They're all, quote, doing it, right? And that put pressure on you because then all of a sudden you felt like, well, God, if everybody else is doing it, I need to be doing it, right? I'm not even sure what it is, but can you help me understand that more?
Honestly, I think that was more of a push, but it was more, I think that whole thing was more of like, I felt alone in that sense. And then seeing other people happy with like their girlfriend, their boyfriend, whatever, just kind of made me want it more, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it other than it just made me want it, made me want someone that I can call my girlfriend or whatever. And yeah,
so it kind of I don't know, put an exclamation on loneliness.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Okay, how can I help you to not feel lonely?
I don't know, just be supportive of like that, be supportive of like my like romantic life, all that kind of, just be supportive of like, if I be supportive, like if I have like a girlfriend, be supportive, like just like not like necessarily.
Do you have a girlfriend, Brandon?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'm just checking. You know, I haven't checked with you in a couple days, so.
A couple days. but like, just be okay with it. Just be like supportive. Like, just, yeah, just be supportive of that side. Yeah.
But you know, when this kind of brings up kind of this little PTSD thing I got going right now because of something that happened, you know, about 5 weeks ago, and you were on social media and you did have that relationship, and it scared me. It scared me because I felt like it was taking over, like you were no longer kind of balanced with school and football and all the things that you were involved in. I felt like it became almost an obsession, and it scared me. I'm sorry if I didn't handle it right, but no, you know, it scared me.
I think you are correct. It did become like an obsession, but I think the one thing that kind of made it more like that and not like a normal, like normal relationship would be the fact that it was all online. Like up to a point we hadn't even talked about seeing each other. Like I think it was just more of like, it was all online, so it could become that way. It could become that because there was no real like physical connection.
So do you think that it became kind of an obsession because of that exaggerated loneliness?
The exaggerated loneliness, yeah. And the, like, the perception that if I don't make them happy in a and if in the way that they want to be, then I'll lose them. And it just kind of, yeah. After that, yeah.
How did that feel? I mean, just when you said losing them, it makes me feel like when you said earlier, I was afraid that everyone in my life would leave me.
It definitely ties into my attachment issues, yes. But no, yeah, it there's no but. It ties into my attachment issues.
Yeah, I can see that. And it must have been really hurtful to be able to, or to feel so desperate, right?
Yeah.
That you needed that person in your life and God forbid they would ever leave.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't a healthy relationship.
Because of that. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, they're going to leave me. So I have to do everything they asked me to do.
Wow.
And I'm trying to work on that. Like, it's after that, I learned from that experience.
We all get to make mistakes, Brandon.
Yeah.
That's life, right? Life sends us through these journeys and hopefully we come out a better person. It doesn't matter what you did. It's, did you learn from it?
Yeah.
When it comes to sexuality, so that relationship that you have that's not online, right? That's in real person, whether it's with a guy or a girl. Do you think you know enough to make a decision on whether you're ready to have sex?
Not with the information I have now, no.
What can I help you with? I know it's embarrassing, I get it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm don't think of me as your mom, right? Think of me as someone who has gone through the journey, right?
Yeah.
And made plenty of mistakes.
Yeah. I think my lack of knowledge is pushing me not to have a sexual relationship. A romantic one is different, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to know nobody knows everything, right? I mean, you know, there isn't anyone out there that's an expert in romance or in sexual activity, right? There isn't. But there's some basic things that you can really use so that when you do make that decision, you're prepared, right?
Yeah.
So do you know ways to not get a sexually transmitted infection?
Yes, I do.
And what would that be?
Abstaining.
Okay,
mostly.
Sure. That's definitely a good way not to get an STI, right? Right. What's another way? Do you know?
Yeah, I do, but it's a little uncomfortable to say.
Okay, so a condom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if you needed to purchase a condom, do you know where to go? Or would it be helpful for me to have some here at the house?
I know where to go doesn't mean I'm confident enough to go and buy them.
Okay.
It's all right. Confidence based. I get it, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I'm going to go ask you to, you know, buy Kotex for your sister either, right? I mean, it's,
yeah, no.
There's a.
There's a fine line between overbearing and
milk, eggs, and condoms, right? I mean, it. It's kind of like saying, hello, I'm sexually active.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it would help. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that you are sexually active or you're not sexually active, but when you are ready, if I have just those ready and available for you, because I would rather have you be protected with that barrier.
Yeah. Than
which is
not
the,
be. Yeah.
Than not be, right?
Yeah.
Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other areas of sexuality that I can that I can answer for you. I mean, I know you've watched porn. Okay. No negative, right? Every dude does it. Every dude masturbates. I get it. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way I know. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's part of, you know, it's part of growth, right? Yeah. It's human nature. It's the way we were made. Okay. Yeah. It's there's no shame in it. But I want to make sure that you have the tools, right? Yeah. Do you know how pregnancy happens?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you're prepared to protect yourself against infection, which can also be bacterial infection, meaning there's a antibiotic, but there's also viral, which sticks to you like glue.
Yeah.
Right? It never goes away. So you always want to make sure you're protected. And yeah. I love you, right? But I don't know the person that you're going to decide someday to have sex with. I don't know him.
Yeah.
And you don't know him.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't know their history because you only know what they tell you.
Yeah.
And what a lot of kids think is I'm having sex with this person. Well, actually you're having sex with every person they've been with.
That's a little weird to think about.
Does it make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
So if they had sex with 20 people before you, and one of them had herpes.
Yeah. Then it will transfer. Yeah.
So you're having sex with that person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you think about it that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's not just the person. It's who they've been with.
Yeah.
And that's it's almost like, could you fill out this form, please, before we get intimate? Because I need to know who you've been with and, you know, what you're. Right?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when we do get in that situation, you're not planning on it. It's not like you go, okay, today's the day I'm going to have sex.
Yeah.
You don't prepare like that. It happens in an instant.
Yeah, it happens organically.
It does. But how can you help protect yourself from STIs and pregnancy? If it's organic, by what?
Just avoiding it in general.
Okay. But what if you can't? What if the hormones are like, oh, I'm dying here. I got to have it.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah, we've already talked about it.
Being prepared.
Yeah.
It's
all being prepared.
Yeah. Thinking about it, right? Thinking about it in advance. And you know that I'm always here for you, right? If you have a relationship with someone and you feel that you're getting to the point of intimacy, like where you really are ready to have sex, come to me, right? I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And abstinence is great, right? But sometimes abstinence isn't abstinence anymore because you feel such connection with a person.
Yeah.
Or you get yourself into a situation where no is not an answer, right?
Yeah.
And you know about like asking permission, right?
Yeah.
Like consent.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
So if someone, a partner, says no.
Then it means no.
What if they say, oh man, we're going to have sex tonight. And you think about it all day and you're like, oh my gosh, I've never had sex before. We're going to have sex tonight. And then you're all ready, right? Your brain, your hormones, what? You got the condom, you're ready to go. And then they say, change my mind.
My answer to this is just get over it.
Like it's no, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't force someone.
Yeah, no.
And no one can force you. So if someone ever comes to you and says, but you said you wanted to, and you're not ready, you're not ready.
Yeah.
No means no. I love you, Brandon.
Love you too. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the National Center for Youth Law, which works to create a world in which every young person can achieve the future they envision for themselves. The podcast is sponsored by the Office of Population Affairs. Contents are solely the responsibility of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of the Department of Health and Human Services or the Office of Population Affairs. I'm your host, Dorothy Daniels, Executive Director of Foster Unity, an organization acting as an active support system for caregivers and foster youth. We couldn't have done it without our podcast producer, Chloe LaValle, our social media lead, Alexa Weissar, Fostering Unity Director of Operations, Dana Fryer, and our senior program associates from NICL, Niara Stansberry and Jess Marino. Music is by John Frerich, and graphics are by Taylor Poliska. Thank you to all listeners. Follow us, share us with your friends and your family. Go to fosteringparenthood.buzzsprout.com to learn more about the podcast. Email us with questions, comments, and feedback at email@fosterreprohealth.org. Foster parenting can be very lonely, but you are never alone. Fostering Parenthood is here to support you.